Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 4. I'm one of your hosts, Sofia Garcia, and today's host, guest in our podcast is Doctora Carmen Lincoln. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for your invitation. I'm so happy and honored to be here spending an hour with you today. So my name is Carmen Lincoln Cano. I am the director of the Dairy Products Technology Center at Cal Poly. And I am originally from Mexico, born and raised in Chihuahua, the dairy region of Mexico, and then moved to Tamaulipas, another region in the northeast part of Mexico.
And how was it like in Mexico growing up, being in like the dairy capital of Mexico, and like how would you say like that influenced how you got here?
That's totally... I'm in the dairy industry, I will say, because the dairy industry looked for me. It was a destiny, I will say. So to give you a little bit of my background about what I did, as I said, I was born and raised in Chihuahua. I grew up there until I had 8 years old, and then I moved. But my family was in agriculture. So both my grandpa and my dad, they were growers. They used to grow a lot of produce, and they also had cattle and pork and, you know, like everything around agriculture. So I actually grew eating the best dairy products that you can imagine. The best cream ever, the best cheese, and I just got used to it, I guess, without realizing that that's not the case for everyone. Then I moved to Tamaulipas from where my mom is from. And I lived there until I had 17 years old. And then I went to the university. So when it was time to decide what I wanted to do, I knew I wanted to be an engineer. I knew I wanted to do something with chemistry because I love lab work. But I wasn't sure what to do, actually, at that time. So my family went to a very difficult situation around the 90s. And my dad actually had to sell the ranch because, you know, just political issues and economical situations in Mexico. So my family was trying to get away from the agriculture side of things, actually, just because of how everything developed. However, my family was still living in Chihuahua, part of my family, and my other part of my family, they also had some roots in agriculture somehow. So I decided that I wanted to become a food engineer, actually, right? So something related with food and chemistry, but not on the agricultural part. And I graduated in Mexico from my bachelor's degree, and then I got a big opportunity to go to Spain to start my master's and PhD. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I got there, and a project just was in front of me. So some professors needed a student with dairy background and with very specific background that I had, that was to use one particular piece of equipment that in a lab to isolate aromas or smells from food. And I had that opportunity during my undergrad. I got a scholarship to go to Cornell, actually, to spend a summer and work with one of the biggest professors, Dr. Terry Acri, working on olfaction and GC. So I happened to be in Spain at the time where these professors needed someone with dairy and volatile experience. And I was there. So I just took the opportunity, right? And from there, all this history, I always been involved in the dairy industry since, I will say, now forever, since I was born.
Yeah. ¿Y cómo lo tomó tu familia cuando dijiste que querías todavía estudiar agricultura? ¿Te soportaron o cómo era tu familia? ¿Cómo se reaccionó?
Mi mamá... Yo creo estaban contentos porque sabían que era la parte de ingeniería y la parte más bien del procesado, no necesariamente la parte de la agricultura en sí, de ir al campo y de sembrar. Mi mamá yo creo que era la que más consciente estaba de hacerme pensar en mis decisiones, de qué es lo que quieres hacer. Mi papá, a pesar de que tuvo que vender el rancho y todo, él siempre ha estado muy arraigado a la tierra. Entonces, claro, él estaba feliz. Pero bueno, al final ellos me dejaron tomar mi decisión y hacer lo que, lo que yo creía que era la decisión. Y fue la decisión correcta. La verdad es que yo no estaba muy enterada en ese momento de lo que hacía un ingeniero en alimentos. No es una carrera que es muy común y que se escucha. Sin embargo, bueno, todos comemos todos los días y la comida se hace en algún lado. Y esa fábrica que hace la comida siempre tiene gente de ingeniería en alimentos o de ciencia de los alimentos. Entonces, al final fueron aprendiendo conmigo también de lo que se trataba. Y bueno, al final siempre apoyaron mi decisión.
¿Y cómo te fue en España? ¿Cómo te gustó? ¿La cultura era diferente de México allá? ¿Me puedes saber más cómo era la vida allá en España?
Sí, la vida es diferente. Obviamente hablamos el mismo idioma, pero aún así no es exactamente el mismo español. Entonces, bueno, hay un problema de... No un problema, una barrera para hacerse comunicar en un principio, en lo que uno se acostumbra a las palabras, cómo se usan diferente. No voy a darte a entender, por ejemplo, la palabra jalar. De esa no se me va a olvidar. Para mí jalar es pull. Agarras algo y lo jalas, ¿no? Lo atraes hacia ti, perdón. Y allá jalar es cuando la gente come mucho. Entonces, cuando yo decía, jala esto, todos, pero ¿por qué? Si esto es una cosa, no es como que estás jalando la comida, ¿no? Y bueno, es simplemente gracioso, nada. Y bueno, la vida es muy festiva. Yo tuve una muy bonita experiencia. Mi grupo de investigación era un grupo excepcional. Mis profesores eran excepcionales. Hice muy buenos amigos. Y tuve la gran fortuna de encontrar mi espacio con la gente que estaba en ese momento y con mis profesores.
Okay. Y Leo, a llegar a Estados Unidos, ¿cómo era también ese estilo de vida? ¿También era difícil o qué?
El cambio fue un poquito complicado. Después de España, estuve otros años en Francia.
Oh, wow.
Cuando acabé mi doctorado, luego conseguí, se llaman postdoctorados, que son como estancias de investigación que haces después del doctorado. Entre el tiempo entre que te consigues una posición más permanente y tal, pues se llama postdoctorado, ¿no? Son contratos, es en realidad un trabajo, pero son contratos por tiempo definido. Entonces estuve en Francia 4 años. Y después de ahí fue que mi marido y yo nos venimos a Estados Unidos. Y la verdad es que sí, el cambio fue, pues, un poco... Nos tomó tiempo, digamos, volvernos a acostumbrar a la vida más bien... Digo, porque en el norte de México y en Estados Unidos no voy a decir que la vida es igual, pero es un poco más similar en el sentido de los horarios de trabajo, ¿no? Entonces, bueno, pues eso, un poquito diferente, pero bueno, pues nada que no se pueda sobrellevar.
Y, like, how did you come to Cal Poly? Like, were you first introduced here? I know you mentioned you didn't mention, but I know you went to Fresno State. How was that like, and what was your position there?
So, yeah, our first stop in the United States was Fresno State. Both my husband and I, we started teaching there. So I was an assistant professor in the Department of Food Science and Nutrition. And I was teaching upper division classes for food processing. So I was the engineer of the department, the food engineer, and I was teaching dairy processing, fruit and vegetable processing, food engineering, and sensory evaluation and other classes. And I had grad students, undergrad students. So that's how we started, and that's how I started getting involved in the dairy industry in California. Since I started there because I was the expert on the dairy side.
Yeah.
And then Fresno State also has a creamery, just as Cal Poly does, right? So I was very involved in that, and that's how everything started. So in 2021, I got a very big project, very important, funded by the USDA, that's called Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. So there are 4 initiatives in the United States, and we got the 4th one. So there's one in Wisconsin, Vermont, and Tennessee. And then we have the California one that started at Fresno State, right? And the objective of those grants are to support the dairy industry. So they are not for research, but more for the industry itself. So we basically manage the money that the USDA's give us, and we spread it out to creameries, for example, that would like to expand their equipment, or that they would like to launch new products. They would like to do a marketing campaign for a certain product that they're launching. So I started managing these grants since 2021. And part of these grants is also to support cultural diversity mm-hmm. in the dairy industry, right? Why? Because we need more diversity itself as the workers and employees. We also need more material for them in different languages. And a very good example to start with is Spanish, just mm-hmm. because of the population we have in California, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean it's the only one. We also have other cultures involved in the dairy industry and the processing industry. However, Spanish is the second language that's most common, mm-hmm. right? And then part of that is also to support student success. And to support student success, to help them network, to help them have more internships, and to bring underrepresented students into the dairy industry. So since 2021, I've been involved in these efforts. I'm very committed mm-hmm. to make it happen. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And how did you end up here at Cal Poly now and in your position now? Like, how'd you hear about it? Was it a decision first that your husband made? Because I know he's also faculty here as well. Or can you speak about, like, how you met your husband, too? Because you guys had both been on this journey from Europe to United States to now here at Cal Poly.
Sure. This is a very nice story, very romantic, I will say.
This is a romance episode, everybody.
So we actually met in Mexico. We are both from Mexico. Okay. He's from Monterrey, Mexico. And we're both food engineers. He graduated a year before I did. And then when I graduated, he got a scholarship to go to Spain. Mm-hmm. Right? It was a scholarship from the government in Mexico to study abroad. So he just told me, well, I want to go. I'm going to Spain. Mm-hmm. Will you come with me? And at that time, I just graduated from, I had 22 years old. So mm-hmm. I was very young. And, of course, I had these great ideas of I'm going to be very independent and mm-hmm. work. And I'm going to get married, I don't know when, and have mm-hmm. children after I see the world, you know, like all these ideas. And then he asked me, well, if we go together, we kind of have to get married. And at that time, after I graduated, I went actually to Europe with my friends, mm-hmm. right, for a month, backpacking. Mm. And during that month, he told me before I left that day. And I was like, I don't know. I have to think about it. I already had a scholarship aligned to start my master's degree mm-hmm. in Mexico. And, well, I know my time in Europe, I guess. I just said, okay, let's do this. And then when we came back and he got the scholarship, we decided to get married. And 2 months later, we were in Europe.
Wow.
So it was kind of a crazy adventure. I'm not that adventurous, I will say. Mm-hmm. I'm very cautious about my planning in life. Yeah. But sometimes life happens.
Yeah.
So we've been together since I was 22 and he was 24. So it's going to be almost 18 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. So we started our master's and PhD in Spain. Then we moved to France. And we both working together, you know, on and off. Mm-hmm. And then we both moved to Fresno. He was the one who got the position at first at Fresno State as an assistant professor. Uh-huh. And then I got the position the next year.
Wow.
And then an opportunity opened for both of us at Cal Poly last year. There was a position for a professor in enology. Mm-hmm. He works with wine.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to be the director at the Dairy Products Technology Center was also open at the same time.
Wow.
So we know Cal Poly since we started at Fresno State because we already know colleagues here. And we actually collaborated in the past with some projects. And the project that I talk about that I manage, Cal Poly is actually a part of that consortium. Okay. So it's Fresno State, Cal Poly, Oregon State, all the universities. So I knew the creamery very well. I came to teach in short courses. I was helping organize some stuff. So it just, I think it was natural and meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's such a cute story. I'm glad that it all worked out. And how has your experience here at Cal Poly been, like, so far? Like, what have you been working on lately?
I'm just super happy to be here. I love my job. I love what I do. I've been enjoying it a lot. I'm just happy. I think all the decisions we made in our lives just came to this moment, right? Yeah. So we're both happy and excited to be here.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned that you had, like, some barriers, but was there any other challenges that you faced, whether you were here, Spain, Mexico, any time that you want to, like, talk about within the agriculture industry?
We always have challenges, and I will say, as a woman of color, brown, you know, like, it's always hard, and especially because I started my career so young, and I'm still considered young. I mean, I'm 39 years old, but I look very young. I look like a student. So sometimes when I'm in the room, you know, my industry most of the time is going to be white male. Not all the time, right? There's some females in leadership as well, but most of the time it's going to be white male. So it's hard to, I guess, gain the place on the table, right? Just because maybe my background, how I look, and because I look very young. Sometimes I feel like, okay, I know I look like a student, but I'm not. I mean, I've been 18 years old, graduated from my bachelor's degree. I think it's enough experience, right? So that's, but I mean, it's not a problem, I will say. It just takes time to be there. Yeah. And especially, I guess, as a woman in general, right? It takes time to be on leadership, and it's an effort, and especially if you're a mom, right? I have an 8-year-old. It's tough to balance your life as a mom, as a professional, because I have a lot of goals and ambitions in my professional life. For me, my career is very important. Being independent is very important. Have like a goal in my professional life and my personal life as well. So you kind of forget about yourself sometimes between your job and your family, right? It's hard to balance, and I haven't learned, I'll say. I'm still learning, right? How to balance everything out. If there's a balance, if it's possible, I don't know. But that's what I found, like, the challenge. I found, not just because I'm Hispanic or Latina, or I think women in the workforce in general, we all face these challenges. And then on top of that, when you're a minority and you have an accent, for example, right? Here in California, I haven't had any issues except for, like, where are you from? Where's your accent from? And I mean, it's kind of, you get tired of it a little bit, but at the same time, well, what can you do, right? And being in a position of leadership right now, I think it's very important. And as you were saying, like, it's really a case of how we can make it happen. And hopefully we'll see more women in leadership as well. And especially in the dairy industry, there are a lot of initiatives going on right now on just providing opportunities for women to become very good leaders. And just keep, you know, like, going up the ladder in their companies. And
I know. I mean, leave, like, a lot of women face challenges, but, like, I think you've showed women that, like, it's, you can have kids, you can have, like, a normal work-life balance. It might be difficult, but it's going to take some time. So, like, thank you for, like, stepping up and being that example for many young women, especially women in Mexico. Do you think you're ever going to end up back in Mexico, or are you pretty comfortable here in the Central Coast?
For the short term, I will say, or medium term, we don't think we're going back to work or do our professional lives there, just because we might not find the same opportunities. We were thinking about going back for a long time. Since we went to Spain, we actually wanted to start a business in Mexico, making cheese and wine. But, you know, there are a lot of challenges as well. So, and at the end, the academia brought us to a different route. And so, I mean, we never know what life will present you, what opportunities will life give you. But for now, I also been moving so much every 5 years, technically, that I really want to stay somewhere for a longer period of time, I guess. So we're not thinking about going back for now. But, I mean, Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you were in Fresno in like 100 plus degree. Now you're in a nice area, which I can say because I'm from Fresno, so I understand.
Oh, are you? Yes, yeah. Yes. I was very happy in Fresno. Yeah. I still miss my friends. Yeah. And the students were great.
Yeah.
It's just the weather is different. That's definitely,
that's very true. Do you ever go back to Fresno to go visit sometimes?
Yeah, I go. I go back from time to time. I mean, it's been only 8 months since we moved.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been long. And yes, I've been going back for work and to visit friends.
Yeah. At least it's not too far of a drive. Just like 2 hours. But yeah. Is there any current projects that you're working on that you want to talk about and your involvement in, if there's any students involved or research and stuff like that?
So I would like to touch base again in the project that I mentioned, that the Pacific Coast Coalition Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. I think that project is taking most of my time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work, but for a good cause. As I said, it's very rewarding to be able to have the opportunity to provide support to so many small creameries and artisanal creameries, mm-hmm. in California, Oregon, Washington, and also a few of them in Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico. That is just those days when we make decisions about the grants that we provide to them and we send them the letters. Mm-hmm. It's just the best day. I always think about how if I could just save that feeling, in a jar and open it up when I'm having a hard day, that will be amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, that's not the case, but I had to remind myself that this project is doing something very good for the industry. It's changing how the industry is going to look in the future, because there's a lot of investment in new equipment that the creameries are doing, in new products they are launching. So that's pretty cool. And in line with that, all I do for research is in product development for dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So new products, basically. So that's, I love that. I love that my research is very applied and that the students get to also play around with different ingredients and just different ideas. That's fun and very nice.
Yeah. Do you ever miss teaching? Because I believe most of yours director position here.
I'm still teaching, but in a different way. Let's put it that way. I don't teach undergrads anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I teach in short courses.
Yeah.
I still give lectures in conferences.
Yeah.
And I have employees, right? So I still, it's just different.
Yeah.
And for now, I'm happy with my job duties, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I miss the students for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I needed this time to reflect and think about other stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
So this month's been good for that. To, again, as I said, to find my own balance in my life, in my professional life and my personal life. And especially I think this month's been very good to find my voice of who I am. Because in Latino cultures, when we grow up, maybe things are changing right now, but my generation, we were taught in a very different way on how to express ourselves. And, the ideas we had, it's just very hard. The imposter syndrome is there all the time, right? So to overcome that, it takes a lot of effort. And constant internal work is something that we struggle all the time. Not everyone, I will say, but at least in my case, it's there. It's one of the other challenges now that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Thinking to find my own voice, right? So this month, it's been a lot of reflection.
Yeah.
I took a leadership course that was taking a holistic approach on how to be a leader, how to be a woman, and how to be a mother. And so just a lot of reflection, I will say, and I needed this time. When you're a professor, you just go all the time.
Yeah.
You have classes, you prepare, you grade, you keep going every week like crazy until your summer, and then your summer you have research, and then it comes out, and it's just this cycle that it never ends, right? And some professors might be better, as I said, at finding that balance, but I wasn't good at it. I know for sure that I wasn't good at finding that balance, at putting barriers or limits on what I was taking on. So these last months, they've been good for that, to reflect about, okay, this could have been very different for me. And what moving forward, what can I do to find that balance and find my voice and just become a better person and a better professional, right? Yeah. So that's what I guess I'm happy here, just because this time seemed very valuable for me to reflect, to slow down, and to think about what's coming next.
Yeah, that's very true. I know, like, the Hispanic culture is really tough. I mean, I think it still hasn't changed, because my father was really hard on me, like, I'm not coming to school, and he still expects me to be, like, a housewife and have kids and stuff like that. And was your family kind of like that, or were they completely different? Like, you need to stay at home and raise kids.
No, my family in particular wasn't like that, but because of their own history as well. So my mom's family came from a divorce. Okay. You know, so my grandparents, they got divorced, I don't know what years, but at that time it was very bad in Mexico, you know, like divorce, like getting divorced, it was very bad.
Yeah.
Right. So my grandma raised the five kids by herself. Wow. So that was very tough on the family. And it's four girls and one boy or one brother, right? So the girls, they grew up with this idea of independence, just because of their story,
yeah,
right? So they definitely needed to be independent, just because yeah, you can get married, you can have a kid, but what if you get divorced? You have to provide for your family, right? So that idea is on me since then, right? I grew up like that. I grew up with that idea of you have to be independent.
Okay.
So I was, I guess, on the opposite side of the things, instead of, yes, you're gonna get married and have kids, yes, you can do that, but you have to be independent.
Yeah.
And that means that for me, it's hard to reach out for help, for example, because I have to be independent. I have to do things by myself.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm capable of, but sometimes you need help. You have to reach out for help. You don't have to do it all alone. You have a community. And that's, again, hard to find that balance between, do I reach out for help or no, because I have to be independent doing everything by myself, right? So we all have our things, I guess, our background, our family. And in my case, that was it, right? I had to be independent, and not because they imposed me or they told me, because what you see and what you learn from your family history, right? Yeah. My mom never told me, like, yeah, you have to be independent. But it's just, I think I absorb it, right, from their story.
Yeah, you saw the tradition and, like, the way it was like. So how do you think you're going to, with your children, are you going to tell them to be independent, or are you trying to just, like, change the stigma and the cycle, the way that you grew up and stuff like that?
I have a boy. I don't have a girl, so that makes things easier in a way. However, how can I say? Like, I would like him to understand, right? Like women have to be independent. And they have to have their own dependency, but it's also a team effort.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about just being separate, but it's about being a team when you have a different gender partner than, you know, even if it's the same gender, each person needs to have its own life, but together at the same time, like, work together and make it work for the family, you know?
Yeah. And, like, we're kind of going to the end of the question, but what would you like to see ag in the future, like, whether that be, I guess, culturally or, like I guess, futurized, like, in technology, or, like, how would you like to envision, hopefully, the ag looking like?
So ag is exciting. It's always changing. It's always challenging. It's never a dull moment, I would say, for, in general, for the ag industry, specifically for dairy. We are in a point where a lot of things are changing as well. So I would like to see more women in leadership, first of all, right? And I will also like to see more support for other cultures in the industry. And before starting this podcast, we were just talking about having content, educational content, in other languages. Start for there, like from there, right? And that's something that it's coming. I'm telling you, it is coming, because a lot of states are also going through this phase of their labor being mainly Spanish speakers, not having the right material for them, and it's something that has to happen, right? So I'm working with Oregon State University. They have some material that's in English, and they are translating in Spanish. So I'm supporting the revision of that translation, for example. It's their initiative, it's their project, right? But we're supporting in that sense. And we're also hoping to start creating more content in Spanish. So here at Cal Poly, for example, we have a Hispanic and Mediterranean cheesemaking short course. That's in English for now, right, until we get more people involved. And then hopefully we can offer it 100% Spanish. I'm also organizing a series of webinars that are talking about the cheese industry in Latin America. So I have people from Brazil that is going to talk about Brazilian cheese styles. I'm going to have Argentina. I'm having Mexico. And I'm hopefully I'm here soon from Colombia and other other countries that I contacted. And some of these are going to be Spanish, some of these English, and hopefully we'll have, you know, like all the translation and bilingual thing. So that, I hope for the future to have that, just more diversity, culturally speaking, right? Either because we have more people from different cultures or because we have more languages involved. Some conference actually in other fields, they're starting to have their own section in Spanish. So why not? Maybe in the future we'll have in our dairy conferences our own section in Spanish.
Yeah, that Mediterranean class seems really fun. Hopefully with Cal Poly, hopefully transitioning into an HSI, Hispanic Serving Institution, we can get there and we can have classes, add classes in Spanish. Like, that'd be really cool having them in English and Spanish.
That would be amazing.
Like, I hope like that also happens in academia. It's like, it's not just English, but in other languages, not just Spanish, because it's really amazing. But is there anything else you would like to say, Aluna, like, I guess, feedback or, like, inspiring messages for the listeners, either in Spanish, English, Spanglish, whatever you would like to say?
Oh, es difícil encontrar solo un mensaje. Hay muchas cosas que quisiera decir, pero creo que es importante para todas y para todos como comunidad trabajar juntos, ¿no? Y simplemente hablar de las situaciones, ¿no? Y de los retos que tenemos como comunidad es importante. Y sobre todo hacer equipo, siempre dar la mano al que lo necesita, estar ahí presente, ¿no? Para los demás, y especialmente las mujeres, nuestra comunidad también, ¿no? Siempre apoyarnos una a la otra en lugar de tirarnos tierra, o muchas veces en el ambiente de trabajo es difícil, ¿no? Que hay mucha competición, porque claro, estás compitiendo por el mismo puesto o lo que sea, ¿no? Pero ver un poco más de no sé cómo decirlo, pero vernos más como equipo, ¿no? Como en equipo en lugar de competencia. Yo creo que eso sería un mundo más bonito.
Okay. Well, muchas gracias. Thank you, Dr. Carmen Lincoln. It was a pleasure for having you on episode number 4.
Thank you.